Well, good morning, Grace. Some of you may know this, but yesterday we had a memorial service here and a worship service here to celebrate the life of Douglas Ballantyne, Shirley's son. And I have to tell you that speaking to Shirley after the service, she was exceedingly thankful to all at Grace who have been so gracious and warm to her in these last couple of days subsequent to Douglas's death. And she was very, very thankful for those who served yesterday and just participated in the service, and she wanted that to be made known. And so I thank you, the Grace Church family, for reaching out and loving her and caring for her in these days. And I'd ask that you continue to pray for Shirley as she makes her way through these days of mourning. She desires to fix her eyes and heart upon Christ. And so we're just going to be praying for her that she would have the strength she needs to continue to do that. This morning, we're going to be looking at this story from Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 42. Thought we'd take a moment to read it through. We'd offer up a word of prayer. And then we would dive in to the word. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for your word. And Father, we're so thankful that you make yourself known through your word. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit would be present in this place and that your Spirit would speak to each of us, drawing us into closer communion with you as we spend time in your word. We pray, Father God, that your word would speak to us very particularly where we need to hear it, where there's something there that you have for us. And we pray, Father, that if in fact there's something that we're drawn to, something that draws us closer to you, we pray that you will receive the glory and the praise and the honor due your name. So we entrust this time to you. We thank you for it. And we look forward to seeing how you are present. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So as Jesus and his disciples and the rest of his entourage, it seems that Jesus was always followed around by an entourage. As they approached Jericho, they passed a blind man who was sitting alongside the road at a spot that he was no doubt pretty familiar with. And although Luke doesn't name the man, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, we're told that the man's name was Bartimaeus. And the Gospel of Matthew tells us that he was sitting along the roadside with at least one other person, likely many more, but at least one other person. Now, the blind and the disabled were referred to at the time as expendables. They were expendable people to the society as a whole, and there was little need for them, and they were thought to occupy the bottom rungs of the social ladder. Between their physical condition and societal norms of the day, they would have found it very difficult to engage in occupations that were typical of that time period. And they would have had trouble actively participating in the life of the community, and so they were often left destitute, often left at the mercy of others. So there was Bartimaeus, begging as a way of meeting his needs, dependent on the righteousness of others to supply him the necessities of life. I say the righteousness of others because the scripture highly uplifted the notion of taking care of the poor. It's interesting that the same society that would castigate and keep someone in a lower social rung and kind of keep a distance from them would also see those same people as people that you could gain some level of righteousness before others by giving them and by obeying God and serving them. And so, again, there was Bartimaeus trying to make do in his blindness. And Luke tells us that he heard the crowd going by. Now remember, the man was blind, but that didn't mean that he was unaware of his surroundings. And so, given the fact that there was a crowd on the Jericho road, which probably was unusual, he assumed that something must have been up. And so Bartimaeus asks the obvious question: what's happening? And he was told that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, although many people in Israel would have been named Jesus, this wasn't Jesus of Capernaum. This wasn't Jesus of Bethlehem or Jesus of Bethany. This was Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, that famous teacher, healer, and miracle worker from the north up in Galilee, from that town that really no one thought anything good could ever come from. So given his fame, his presence on the road would have explained the crowd, and it certainly would have explained all the commotion. Now, although Bartimaeus couldn't physically see the man, he couldn't physically lay his eyes upon this man, Jesus, it seems that something must have stirred in him at the name Jesus of Nazareth. It's as if, as it says in Ephesians, it's as if the eyes of his heart were enlightened. And in that moment, the blind man sees Jesus as someone he can place his hope in. And this hope must have welled up inside him, compelling Bartimaeus to call out above the noise of the crowd, to work that extra measure of give that extra measure of effort to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now think on this a minute. He didn't say, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." To call upon the Son of David was more than some formalized way of addressing someone. You see, Bartimaeus was inspired by God to speak of Jesus in a way that was commonly understood to refer to the long-awaited Messiah. I say the Spirit of God because we know that the Spirit of God is what draws us to Christ. So the Spirit is the one that gives us that revelation of who He is. And it is that Spirit that must have been at work in Bartimaeus, drawing him to the man. You see, God had promised King David, the first rightful king of Israel, that his throne would be established forever. We look back into the Old Testament. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13. God said this to David. He said, "When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you. You will come from your own body." They will come. Who will come from your own body? "And I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And since that time, the people had been waiting to see David's greater son, the one who would be the Messiah, the Christ, the one who would come and establish the throne of David, ushering in the kingdom of God and delivering Israel from its enemies and reigning forever and ever. And it was understood that the coming of this Messiah, this Christ, would be attested to by miraculous healings, miracles of all sorts, just as the prophet Isaiah had said about the coming of the kingdom. He said, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped," meaning at the time that the Messiah shows up, you will begin to see the signs that he is there. You won't miss it. It'll be evident. And in fact, Jesus himself pointed to the miracles of his ministry as evidence of God's being at work in him and in the coming of the kingdom of God. Remember that when John the Baptist's disciples asked Jesus if he was the one who they'd been waiting for, Jesus said this. He said, "Go back, report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus was the one for whom they had been waiting, and the miracles announced the arrival of the kingdom of God. And although this is the first time in Luke's gospel that Jesus is declared by someone, is proclaimed by someone to be the Son of David, the gospel of Matthew, starting with the very first verse, and then at least six times throughout Matthew, records individual people calling Jesus the Son of David, and Jesus received that title. He never rejected it. He never pushed it away. He never rebuked anyone for using that title. And then as he entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he received the praise and worship of the people as they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." So Bartimaeus, he was used to begging to meet his needs. He was used to leaning on and hoping in righteous people to provide for him. But now, Bartimaeus recognizes Jesus as so much more than just a famous teacher and miracle worker from Nazareth. The blind man sees who Jesus is and calls out to Jesus, Son of David. He calls out to the Messiah, the one sent from God, the Savior of the nation. And we'll notice that Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus, the Son of David, for so much more than alms. He's not asking for food. He's not asking for money. He's asking for mercy. He's asking for kindness that goes beyond what could be rightfully claimed or ever reasonably expected. Bartimaeus may well have assumed that his blindness was God's judgment upon him, and so he would need an act of mercy from the Son of David, the one who had the power of God to take care of, to heal, to restore. Bartimaeus seems in that moment to have understood Jesus' commitment to people like himself, people in need, the blind and the lame, the deaf, the sick, and sinners of all sorts, just like you and I. So Bartimaeus was looking for restoration. It appears that Bartimaeus was looking for healing and forgiveness that would free him from his current condition. And he believed that Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, had the power to do that. He had the power to do that. And those who led the way, those who were in the entourage, those who were close by Jesus, they apparently didn't see as the blind man saw. And they rebuked Bartimaeus. And they told Bartimaeus, be quiet. In essence, don't reach out to the Son of David. He has no interest in you. But Bartimaeus persisted in calling out. He was, after all, a beggar. He may not have had a job in the traditional sense, but he had his work. And he was used to calling out to meet his needs. And he clearly believed that Jesus could and Jesus would meet that need if only Jesus heard him. So he wasn't going to let Jesus go by. He shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Pressing his case, despite the peer pressure telling him to stop. Stop calling upon Jesus. Stop looking to Jesus to settle your heart's issues. It reminds me of a young man I met in the youth group a number of years ago. A young man who made a declaration of Christ and then decided that he was going to live that declaration in his school. And as he made his way through the school year, he was a talented academician. He was a talented athlete. And as he walked the walk of faith, as he continued to cry out to Christ, he found that life at school got kind of complex. And he found that there was peer pressure, there was this good-natured ribbing by his friends at school, all of which sought to have him stop leaning on this Christ. Stop putting your hope there. You need to be engaged in this way, and you need to come over and do these kind of things. And yet this student kept holding on and remaining steadfast. He persisted, as our brother Bartimaeus did. And Jesus heard Bartimaeus' shouts above the noise of the crowd around him. And Jesus stopped. I like that picture. Can you imagine this entourage and the noise and the crowd as he walked through and he hears this man, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops. The crowds had been indifferent to the blind man shouting. And when not indifferent, they were annoyed, tried to stifle it. But Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry and his declaration of Jesus as the Son of David. And so Jesus ordered that the man be brought to him. Jesus not only heard Bartimaeus, and Jesus not only stopped from where he was going, but Jesus knew the need of the man and provided for him. Because without being led, Bartimaeus would have struggled to come to Jesus on his own. Jesus provides the means for the blind man to be brought to him. And with Bartimaeus in his presence, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now again, Bartimaeus could have asked for money, could have asked for food to meet the material need he so surely had. But because he had called out to Jesus, Son of David, it was clear that he had a much greater need that he wanted met, so much greater than any material blessing. And notice that Jesus doesn't ask Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" because he lacks knowledge. Jesus is asking him to articulate his need so that the blind man can put his trust and his confidence, his faith, into action. The blind man who had called him Son of David, Messiah, the Christ, now was called upon to sort of put his money where his mouth was. Would he actually trust Jesus, Son of David, the Messiah, with his need? Would he go that extra distance? It makes me wish I'd been a witness there at the scene. Now take a moment. Do you think it took Bartimaeus time to collect himself? I mean, after all, he was in the presence of the one who had he had declared the Son of David, the Messiah. So you think he kind of stood there going, what do I want? Why did I call out? Or do you think, when Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" he sort of blurted it out like, "Oh, I want this. I want to receive my sight." It reminds me of the Casting Crowns song that speaks of the day that we'll stand in Jesus' presence. It says, "Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all?" I can only imagine. Well, I can only imagine what Bartimaeus was thinking in that moment when he stood there in front of the Messiah, the Son of David. But the scripture tells us that he said, "Lord, I want to see." Now Bartimaeus speaks of Jesus as Lord. And we have to understand it's a term of deference. It's a term that demonstrates subservience to one greater than oneself, and it might be used in reference to one's benefactor. So now the blind man sees Jesus not only as the Messiah, the promised one of God, but also as benevolent and gracious, and the one to whom he can declare his fidelity and dependence to meet this need. In essence, now he puts himself in the Messiah's hands, and his Lord would do what his Lord saw fit to do. And Jesus said, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Now, that word translated here is healed. Apparently means saved. Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. Now, we want to be clear. It wasn't Bartimaeus' faith that created the cure. The blind man's faith was not in faith, not in the power of faith. The blind man's faith was in Jesus. The blind man's faith was in belief that Jesus was the means by which he would receive this healing. It was the object of faith that mattered, not the mechanism of faith. And Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the Son of David. And as such, Jesus had the power of God to heal his blindness if it was his will to do so. And Bartimaeus believed it was his will because the Son of David's coming would be accompanied by miraculous healings of all sorts. So it was his faith in Jesus that drove Bartimaeus to call upon Christ and to ask for his sight to be restored. And it was Jesus' will to restore the blind man's sight and save him. In that moment, from the person asking to the one receiving, they were of one mind in that moment. They were on the same page in that moment. They were both in line with what God's will was. And Luke tells us that Bartimaeus received his sight immediately, in full and in complete restoration. Now the blind man sees Jesus with new eyes. He sees his Savior face to face. Can you imagine that moment? Having found his way to him, having been led there, and having declared he was the Messiah, the Son of David. And then to be asked, "What do you want from me?" And to say, I want to see. And then to see. To have it fully restored. And to be looking at your Savior. It's overwhelming to think about. And now that he sees his Savior with new eyes, Bartimaeus now chooses to follow after Jesus with praise. The man who had once sat along the roadside begging for the righteous to supply his need. The man considered expendable at the bottom of the social order. He now leaves his roadside perch, that spot that he had likely occupied for a very long time. The man who cried out to Jesus from a distance, separated from him by the crowd, now began a new life with gratitude, service, and praise. The old was gone, and the new had come. And all the people praised God. Now, there is a great deal in this passage to highlight. We can speak of the way that the story speaks of the saving and healing work of Jesus on behalf of those who were outcast and thought to be lost to God. Because surely Luke is trying to highlight that yet again in his gospel. And we can speak of the resistance that some have to the values of the kingdom of God and who stand in opposition to God's work in the lives of the least, the last, and the leftover. But I want to draw your attention this morning to the blind man who sees. And I want to remind us that his story, I believe, is similar to our own. The blind man began by sitting along the road, living life as it was handed to him, apparently not believing that his situation could change. And then Jesus enters into the scene and the blind man sees a new reality. The blind man sees in Jesus one who inspired hope. The hope that his circumstance could be different. And the welling up of hope inspired of God compelled him to cry out to Jesus for help. Remember, Jesus is your hope. That which you live with, the pain of your past, those things that you have held, that have held your heart, and those things that have declared your sinfulness and guilt before God, and that shape and shame your choices and decisions, remember that they can be dealt with by Jesus. And it's that hope that should compel us to call out to him, cry out to him. The blind man sees in Jesus the one who has come in the power of God to heal the great need in the man's life. Remember, Jesus has the power to bring restoration to your life. Not only can we remember to put our hope there, but remember that he has the power to actually handle your need. And the blind man sees in Jesus one who not only has the power of God, but also who is a benevolent Lord who desires to meet the need of those who come before him. Remember that Jesus has not only come with the power to restore us, a power that brings him glory to do so. Have you ever thought on that? Not only does he have the power, but he desires to use that power to bring himself glory in your life. He doesn't withhold that power at work in your life. He wants to bestow it as an act of grace upon us. He wants to take the stuff in our lives that we're ashamed of and bring about restoration before God and to bring us into right standing with God the Father, no longer condemned, no longer afraid of the judgment of God. Oh, dear ones, cry out to him, knowing that all who call upon him will be saved. And lastly, the blind man sees in Jesus that the one he can follow in gratitude and joy at being restored and healed and saved. Remember that those in whom Jesus has worked, there will be an overflowing of gratitude, and that gratitude will express itself in their lives. He saves. He restores. Not so that you can return to the roadside, but so you can leave the place you have perched yourself and go to a new place inspired and directed by his indwelling spirit residing in you. You may not be blind physically, but all of us have been blind spiritually. Some have already been filled with hope, and some have cried out to Jesus in faith, I want to see. And he has opened those eyes. Some have not yet been filled with that hope. Some are still waiting for that moment when they will see the depth of their need, they'll understand the depth of their need, and realize that Jesus is prepared to meet their need. And some have cried out to Jesus and are now needing to remind themselves of the work that he has done in your life, so that you will live for him in gratitude and grace and peace, fighting against that desire to sit along the road as though you never met him in the first place. Wherever you find yourself, the prayer is, and the prayer will continue to be, that we will see as the blind man sees. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray that it will not return void. We pray, Father God, that you have been uplifted and glorified, and we entrust ourselves to you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.